sick, we continue to wrestle with the notion that we don't really understand good and bad, right and wrong. We don't always know how to discern things properly. I think this is in the background of our first reading with Jeremiah and Hananiah, and perhaps is subtly indicated in Jesus' discussion on welcoming, but it's front and center in Paul's discussion with the Romans today in our second reading. This whole notion that we can be bound by sin and impurity, that we can give ourselves over as servants to that which is wrong, to that which we shouldn't be doing. We, of course, know that that isn't what should happen, and yet Paul's very clear that all too often this is exactly what occurs. And yet there are also moments where we kind of break free, where we recognize that what we were doing was incorrect through the grace of God given to us. We can be set free from that slavery to sin. And in such moments, we can then realize that we were ashamed of what we were doing before. And he said, what benefit do you have from those things of which you are now ashamed? And of course, such a statement also indicates that there was that period of time when we were not ashamed of those things, where we thought they were just fine in doing them. When we served under the law, we would think that perhaps we were fulfilling the law and that we were living as we should. We weren't ashamed and felt bad about the things that we shouldn't have done in the first place, which of course is the challenge. And it's a challenge that persists to this day. We still don't go around, I don't think, most of us, trying to do wrong in this world, willingly giving ourselves over to sin and saying, yes, we want to work in ways that lead to death. That's not the choices we would make. And yet, as Paul highlights, there's times that we go down those roads. We get tempted into those positions, into behaving in those ways, because this is the desire of the flesh. The desires of health and wealth and status and other things that draw our attention, that make sense to us as things we should want and should desire. And as if we emphasize those and we pay close attention to them and give in to those desires, well, then we may well find ourselves saying, doing, thinking things that are contrary to what God would ask of us. So on that front, we can be tempted away into these challenging situations by things that sound pretty good. On the other hand, Paul tells us that our only other option is to give ourselves over to righteousness, to become slaves of God and servants of God. And this is something our human nature doesn't always want to accept either. We don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be servants. We want to be our own master. We want to have power and control of the world around us. We want to be free. And sometimes I think sin will twist this desire for freedom in a way to have us rebel against God. We don't want to listen to that. We'll do it our way, we might well say, to that which God would invite us to do. And of course, this becomes just as problematic. We find ourselves still rejecting the path that leads to life, rejecting the way in which God is inviting us to be and how we are to relate to God and to one another in this world. And in short, what we are doing is trading the truth of what God would ask of us for the lies of sin that says this is the better way. This is how we can accomplish your true desires. This is how you can gain freedom, all the while finding ourselves enslaved to sin, giving in to these other desires, and ultimately working for that which leads to death. So this twisting of truth and falsehood is on display as well in our first reading today. Jeremiah is telling the people that he wishes Hananiah's words would come to fruition. And so a little quick background here. Jeremiah, as we heard last week, has been saying violence and destruction for Judah and for Jerusalem, has been saying the people will need to go into exile. And Hananiah has said, that won't happen. God will break the yoke of the Babylonians. God will allow us to receive back all that which was taken away from us, and we will have peace. Jeremiah says, I know that sounds lovely. And indeed, I wish that were the case. Amen. Let it be so. But Jeremiah is also clear that such a message may well not be from God. That we'd have to wait and see if it actually bore out. Would peace actually happen? Or is Jeremiah's message correct? And if we got a chance to read a little bit further, we would see that yes, indeed, the message that was given to Jeremiah is what is true. And Hananiah is speaking a falsehood. In fact, Jeremiah is upset with Hananiah, and God is upset for Hananiah and getting the people to believe this falsehood, which now creates the real challenge, that the message Hananiah has to say is one that the people find more palatable. They like that message, and so they are likely to accept that as true, even though it is false, and they are likely to reject Jeremiah's message, even though it is true, because it is difficult to hear and to stomach. And so what the people are going to do then is accept Hananiah as a true prophet and reject Jeremiah as a false one. Even though we know the reality is just the opposite. Hananiah is the false prophet, Jeremiah the true one. And this then gets us into Jesus' words today. Those who welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. But it's very clear from this story from Jeremiah that if we welcome a false prophet in the name of a prophet, we do not receive a prophet's reward. We do not receive the reward of actually hearing, encountering, and understanding the word God would have for us. We have rejected that word and accepted this falsehood. And so the rub of what Jesus says to us is that it still requires some discernment. In order to properly welcome a prophet as a prophet, we must understand who a true prophet is before we can welcome them. And the same, of course, is true for the righteous. And these are things that we struggle with. We don't know how to identify properly the ones who speak truth to us, the ones who would bear righteousness to us. We don't always know how to welcome prophets, as righteous, we are just as likely to welcome false prophets as prophets and the unrighteous as righteous, getting things all twisted up. But there is good news today in the midst of our own confusion, in the midst of our own ability to discern. And I think it comes down to what Jesus says at the beginning to the disciples. Those who welcome you, welcome me. And if you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me. What Jesus is promising then is Christ's own presence through those who would bear witness to Christ in the world. This is the key for us to rely upon, I believe. What we need more than our own understanding of right and wrong, more than our understanding of good and evil, is to be in Christ's presence, is to welcome those who would share Christ with us and in turn seek to share Christ with one another. It is Christ then who frees us from this slavery to sin and impurity that shares with us this gift of eternal life, this fruit that leads to salvation and sanctification. In short, it is Christ's presence with us that allows us to become different than we are, to better understand these things, even without the intention of trying to better understand good and evil or right and wrong. So this is the good news Jesus shares, is that Christ will be present with us as we welcome those who bear Christ's message to us, and that this can lead to true transformation for ourselves and for others. This is the good news that Paul points to as well. Through Christ, we can be liberated from this bondage to sin, and we can walk in newness of life, where we can bear fruit in other ways, ways that do not lead to death. And as we encounter Christ, we will discover that this transformation can happen all at once, in significant ways, that suddenly we live, think, act, speak very differently than we did before through this encounter with Christ. And this can also happen slowly and subtly, unfolding over time. Paul, of course, had the sudden and immediate transformation through encountering Christ's presence on the road to Damascus. But there are also plenty who would be changed through this encounter in subtle ways that may not be noticeable all at once, but as we look back over our lives, we'd say, well, you know, I make very different decisions and think about things very differently now than I did a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And perhaps that's in line with what Christ is inviting us to be and how Christ is inviting us to live, that this unfolds within us. That this is a true gift we get to share with one another as we gather together in the name of Christ. That we here get to welcome one another in Jesus' name. We get to extend welcome and receive welcome. And in so doing, we know that Christ is present with us. That God has drawn near to us in these moments. And that we can begin to experience this reward of welcoming Christ, a reward that leads to life. Of course, this isn't a reward we give to each other in this place. No, this isn't something any one of us holds on to, but it is an organic process that occurs as Christ draws near to us in our gathering. And that, of course, is exactly what we experience fully, completely in the meal that we share. Here, Christ is welcomed into this space and bread and wine, body and blood, and at this table, Christ in turn welcomes us all to draw near and encounter God's presence, God's steadfast love, mercy, and grace. And as this literally enters into us and fills us as we share in this meal together, we find ourselves transformed and renewed. Strengthened and nourished to celebrate and share the love of Christ, to continue to extend a welcome in the name of Christ to those around us, and to better understand the ways in which we have been welcomed into God's household, into God's eternal life, into God's steadfast love. These rewards that we get a foretaste of today are great indeed. They help nourish and sustain not only our faith, but our very lives. They help us continue to be saturated in a grace that helps us respond with thoughtfulness, mercy, and attentiveness to those around us. That helps us be a little transformed, perhaps, in our day-to-day and our activities in the week ahead. And then to see the ways in which God will continue to bring about that sanctification, that transformation going forward. And at the same time as we get to experience all this wonderful goodness of God's steadfast love, we get to in turn share it. We get to extend welcome beyond us, as we sang in our opening song today. All are welcome in this place. All are welcome to draw near and encounter Christ's own presence. All are welcome to hear and to know deeply this life and love of God that sets us free from our bondage to sin and invites us to know the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for this most precious and wondrous gift, shared with us, shared with all, we can only say for such a gift as this, thanks be to God. Amen.